Blog Talk Radio.
No.
I've been trying to get that sound off of here for a long time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we just adore you today. We just come to bless your name. We come in your holy presence, giving you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. And we thank you that you are everywhere. Hey, kitty, you're in Georgia, in South Carolina, in Tennessee, in Washington State. You're in Nevada. You're in Ecuador, Texas. You're in Michigan. You're all over the United States, everywhere. Ohio, Illinois, Louisiana. There's no place that you are not. Oh, Father, I thank you that you don't slumber. Even when people are sleeping right now in France or even in Italy or in Africa, you are awake and watching over them. You don't slumber, you don't sleep. You carefully watch over your people morning, noon, and night. And I thank you that you even give us warnings, oh God. Help us to be sensitive to your spirit, to heed the warnings you give us, whether they come through a baby or a bird that lights on our car or whatever, the weather, whatever, however the warnings come, help us to know that we know that we know that these are warnings from you, Father God. Help us to be sensitive and pay close attention to what you're telling us. We thank you that you are Jehovah Roha, our shepherd, and that you shepherd over us. Your rod and your staff comforts us. You make sure that our cup runs over. You give us mercy and grace and favor, and we are privileged to be your children. We bind the hand of the enemy that would try to come in and steal, rob, kill, destroy us. Satan, you are bound. We put you on notice right now. The blood of Jesus is against you. We take authority over our territories in Jacksonville. Jacksonville belongs to Jesus. And we serve the Most High God. We thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Shammah. You are present with us. Oh, Father God, even when our body aches and is wrenched in pain or a headache or a sore throat or whatever there may be with us, oh, God, you are Jehovah Rapha, a healer, oh, God. And, Father, today I lift up your people and I say have your way in our lives, oh, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that we can call on your name. We can't call on the dead God because they are dead. We can't call on the monument. It's dead. We can't call on things that are not living, but we can call on you, the living, true God. We cover ourselves and our families and our possessions with the blood of Jesus. Oh, Father God, let your fire surround and protect our lives from destruction. In Jesus' name, let the angel of the Lord encamp around about us and protect us. In Jesus' name, let your glory be our covering and protect our backs. In Jesus' name, hold us up and we will be safe. Oh, the name of Jesus is a strong tower. We run into it and we are safe. Lord, you make us to dwell in safety. Set us in safety from those that puff at us. Let us dwell in our land safely, O God. In Jesus' name, lead us safely and we will not fear. Let the sea overwhelm our enemies in Jesus' name. Let us lie down and rest in safety. We dwell in safety. Nothing shall make us afraid in Jesus' name. Keep us as the apple of your eye and hide us under the shadow of your almighty wings. We thank you. We will trust in the covert of your wings. In the shadow of your wings will we trust. be our covert from the storm and the rain. We bind up Isaac right now. We say that Isaac will die. Isaac will not come to Jacksonville. Oh, Father God, he will not even become a hurricane like the naysayers and the NOAA predictions have predicted. I say that Isaac is dead in the name of Jesus. He cannot rise. His eyes are gorged out. I take authority over Isaac right now, and I sling him back to the pits of hell. He cannot come forward. I thank you, God, when we will have just enough rain. We will not have flooding, heavy rains. And we plead the blood of Jesus over Jacksonville, over every city throughout the United States. And, Lord, those people who have suffered from hurricanes recently or flooding, we ask you, Lord, to cover them by your precious blood. Oh, send in help, oh, God. Send in much help, oh, God, to help them through this time of afflictions, trials, tribulations that they're going through. In Jesus' name, I thank you that they are not alone in these things, that you are with them. Cover our heads in the day of battle, O God. Convert us with the shadow of your hand. Cover us with the shadow of your hand. Cover us with your feathers. Be our defense and our refuge, Father God. In Jesus' name, defend and deliver us. Let your glory be our defense, Father God. In Jesus' name, let your glory be our defense. Defend and deliver us. Defend us from those who will rise up against us. Lord, you are our shield and our hiding place. In Jesus' name, Lord, surround us with your shield of protection. In Jesus' name, bring down, O Lord, our shield. Let your truth be our shield. Lord, you are our sun and shield. Lord, you are our shield and exceeding great reward. We honor your holy presence, O God, that is with us morning, noon, and night. We will not be afraid of 10,000 that have set themselves against us, because you are our shield in Jesus' name, and you are a strong tower for us from the enemy in Jesus' name. And Father, we appreciate you being with us every week on Voice to Men, Girls to Ladies. And we just bless you right now, Father God. Father, we lift up our children right now in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise today. Lord, we thank you for life and all the blessings that come with it. Oh, Father God, as we give you praise today, oh God, we take time to thank you for our children, our seeds, oh God. Lord, we thank you for the children. We confess that they are all whom God has created and purposed for them to be. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over every child in Jacksonville, every child throughout the United States, every child in every continent, from infancy through adolescence, O God. We plead the blood of Jesus over every institution, organization, and recreation that our children partake of. We cover those who are entrusted with the care of our children outside of our home with the blood of Jesus. Father, line up. We line up with the word of God in Proverbs 22:6 and commit to train every child in the way that they should go. In the name of Jesus, we bind every spirit that is not of God's Holy Spirit. We bind Satan, the angel of light, doctrine of devils, whereby the Antichrist would try to teach our children anything outside the knowledge of God. We bind all Antichrist spirit in the land, seducing spirits, lust of the flesh, lust of the world, and lust of the things of this world. We bind perversion, pornography, premarital sex, rape, incest, murder, suicide, and death. We bind witchcraft and mind control and Satanism. We bind gangs and occultism. We bind obsession, possession, oppression, depression, suppression, and regression. In the name of Jesus, we bind excuse me, the spirits of fear and stress in the name of Jesus. We bind peer pressure, the transference of evil spirits through games, cartoons, movies, TV, music, and ungodly association. We break all curses that have been spoken over our children through negative confessions. We bind all magic spells, trances, hexes, vexes, and all spirits that have come to woo, lure, and seduce our children into darkness. Father, we repent on behalf of the children for all sins, and we renounce sin and every evil spirit that tries to enter in within it. All bedeviling spirits are bound in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we pray that God's perfect will and purpose will be manifested in our children's lives. Father, let us be reminded of your word in Matthew 19:14, where you said, allow the children to come unto you and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let not our will, but your will be done in our children's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, we have an exciting evening for you. This is Voice to Men, Girls to Ladies. I'm your host, Caritha Gantling, and we have an excellent speaker with us today. His name is Brother David Emmanuel. He's a young man. He's a husband, a father, a comedian, and he also does karate, and he is a speaker. So we thank God for him today, and we appreciate him coming on. We thank God for his wife being on with us today. And how are you, Brother David?
I'm blessed and grateful. How are you, Sister
Jean? I'm doing good. We are ready for that message from the Lord that you have for us today.
Okay. Well, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to speak, especially to you. I was looking on Facebook last night and seeing, you know, comedians, they especially new ones, they scrounge to get clubs and to be able to perform at clubs and empty clubs. And I said, well, you know, I don't even have a desire to do that. I said, I get to speak to the youth. I get to go to church and speak to you. And I get to do it on the program today. I said, that makes me feel good. I don't have to get out there and wrestle over a club. In a way, I get to speak to the future. You know, the kids are very important. They're going to be the ones voting and deciding, and they're going to be the politicians and the ones that take care of us when we get up in age. You know, I didn't think about that when I was young. I was like, why do they keep saying the kids are the future? Why? Because when the time comes, they are going to be the future because they're the one making all the decisions. So, you know, it's wise to put everything we can into the children. I think today I was supposed to touch on my diet and what I eat because that's where I left off last time, but I'm going to kind of give a little map. You know, growing up as a kid, one thing that stuck with me that they taught me was God's gift to you is your life. What you do with your life is your gift to God. And that has always stuck with me because, you know, when you grow up amongst split families and with family members that normally speak evil and, you know, they speak one way but live another way, you look at their lives and you say, man, I want to be different because something about that isn't right. And it's easy to blame people for the life that you have today. You can say, oh, I had a bad childhood. Or, oh, nobody ever cared about me. Or, nobody ever said any encouraging words to me. And you use that for an excuse throughout your life not to achieve things and to have success. And that's an excuse because just like the saying that was taught to me, what you do with your life is your gift to God. Because it comes a time in your life when you are going to be in charge of your life. I mean, even as a young kid, you in charge of your life. You control what you feed into your life, you know, what you read, who you hang with, you know. Do you gravitate toward positive people? Do you hang with negative people just so you could be cool and be one of the crew? You know, I'm not going to say I was a saint growing up. You know, I did a lot of things, and like I wanted to talk about drinking alcohol. You know, I learned in the military because I didn't drink growing up, but they taught me quick when I got in the military, and that was the wrong place to learn how to drink. You know, and it took forever for me to figure out. I thought life wasn't good unless I was drinking. And then, you know, looking back, do you know how dumb that was to think like that? And, you know, when I became older and I came wise, I think in my mid-20s, I started thinking real deep. I said, you know what? Nothing good has come out of me drinking or consuming alcohol. And then I began to think even more. There's somebody out there selling this and they're getting rich off of it. There's a family somewhere that's getting a lot of wealth. Meanwhile, people are destroying their bodies. Because alcohol is a depressant. So you got to wonder, if you want to feel good, why would you take a depressant? See? And you start to rationalize and think, and you say, I'm making somebody else rich. I'm taking a depressant, and I'm destroying my body. See? Your body is your temple, and you got to take care of that temple. God gave you that temple pure, and you want to try to keep it pure. You know, they tell you not to defile your temple. And that can be with physical stuff, that could be with mental stuff, that could be with spiritual stuff. I mean, it covers a whole lot, you know, and you have to grow into the knowledge of it. But the more you, and my grandmother from Jacksonville taught me that if you take care of the body will take care of you. These sayings are sayings that I had growing up. You don't hear these too much today. But these have always stuck with me and helped me learn to take care of my body, you know. I mean, that's why my diet is so strict. Okay. Now, another thing, your relationships with people, you know, your kids and family, you want to try to keep good relationships, you know. A while back, I was wrestling with, I wanted to learn how to edit movies on my own. And I even stood up in church and talked about it because I was getting frustrated with the direction somebody wanted me to go, and I was going to compromise. I think I shared that last week. I don't know. But I was going to compromise and work with this person anyway. But God said, you got everything you need. I gave you all the tools to do what you need to do. And I simply asked my son, my oldest son, I said, you know, didn't you work with this years ago? He said, yeah, I worked with it about 6 years ago, but I don't really remember how to operate it. I said, well, come show me what you know. And he moved one thing on that computer, and it was like the piece of the puzzle that put everything in focus. He showed me one thing, and he didn't even think it was significant. And when he showed it to me, I said, oh, man, it's that. And I was off and running. I was making videos, and I mean, just, And it's been ongoing, just ongoing. So, you know, but it took me being humble and going to him and asking him to show me what he knows. So, you know, you can learn things from the youth, from the youngest, from a baby, they say, you know. So I was thankful for that. Now, on the radio, I've been listening to Kimberly Daniels at 1205 to 1225. She comes on the radio. AM and FM, and I've been listening to her, and man, she had a strong message today about thorns. See, a lot of times we run into people, or we deal with people, or people are stuck in a certain way, and, you know, people even try to convince you that you're the problem. You know, that's the point, you know, and you keep listening, you will believe it. But, you know, you always stick to the scripture and what the words say. Because let me tell you, if you stand on that word, that's solid ground. That's where you need to be. You know, you can't go wrong. But Providence Daniels talked about today is God put thorns in your life for a reason. And we don't understand, and they're painful. You know, sometimes they're painful. But he put it there for a reason, to shape you and to mold you and to get you to that next level. And you'll be wondering, why I got to deal with this person? You know, I was stuck with a person that, you know, their drive probably is not the same as mine. And I think, I don't know if Sister G shared with me, somebody might share it with me. You know, they have a different relationship with God. You know, you might be praying for them, burning all your energy, praying for them, wanting them to be successful. But they might have something totally different going on with God. They got a whole different will. So you can't get frustrated if that person don't achieve or do something that you want them to do. You know, that's why the older people and a lot of other spiritual people, they used to always say, if it's God's will, if it's God. They used to always say that when you finish talking to them or say, what you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm going to the beach if it's God's will. You know, and I used to say to myself, well, what God will got to do with it? If you're going, you're going. Why are you always saying God's will? And, you know, I mean, these people would say it religiously, and I never understood it until I tried to do some things my way, and I thought they were the spiritual right thing to do, and I'm giving it my all and being a good Samaritan. It turns out the person don't pass or this don't come to fruition. And that made it click in my head. Maybe it wasn't God's will. Everything has to be by God's will, you know. And another thing is, a lot of times God have things for you and not for the whole world. And we have to be careful because we talk about what we're doing. You know, even me, I have to be careful because I do a lot of things. You know, I do karate. I do comedy. Do a little acting. What else do I do? I do some multiple things, you know. And sometimes I'm not careful. I get the shooting off at my mouth. I get excited. I want to tell people to tell everybody. It ain't for everybody. Sometimes God got stuff for me that's just for me. You know, if you go shooting your mouth off bragging and being boastful, it could be cut right from underneath. And I'll give you an example. This lady said she was going to give me a part in the movie, and it was a good part. And I was so happy. And that was my first part, you know, because I didn't get to do acting lessons like everybody else and all that stuff. So, you know, but I'm determined to do everything in life despite what happened prior. So she's going to give me this role, and I'm all excited. I'm just telling everybody. And she said, well, we're going to shoot it in May. May came around. I called up. Well, no, I'm not ready to work on it yet. Now, May then came and went, and I didn't get a chance to be in that movie. See, I ran out there and went to shooting my mouth off. But there's been situations now lately I'm learning to be humble, keep my mouth shut. They call it bridle or something like they do a horse or something, you know, with a piece of metal. It's like the more you keep your mouth quiet, these blessings just start coming down from God you wouldn't believe, you know. And just the past two weeks or so, I've been quiet and watching and observing and, you know, praying, and things just been falling in place. So if you can get to a point where you don't tell everything that you're doing, you know, especially if it's something new and God blessing you. Sometimes it's just for you. Now, I see a lot of times I give examples of stuff to people because I'm trying to show them how God worked for me in my life and you know, not saying that God won't work in their life, but I want to share with them what God did for me. So sometimes I'll share it. I don't know where I am on time. So, now, okay, I'm going to hop to the food in a little bit, so at least I cover that in case I go over on time. Now, like I said, okay, so I used to drink alcohol now when I got out of the military. And it used to be, you know, all week long I wouldn't have nothing to drink. Well, I'm talking to the kids, because kids, well, you need to know, it's not necessarily that you go drink. You don't need to drink alcohol. I've met people, grown people older than me, that say they never had a drink in their life. You know that is a blessing. That's a blessing that God put something in your life to keep you away from a depressant or something that destroys your body and keeps you away from peer pressure. You know, that's a strong individual. I got a good friend of mine up in Maryland, and he said the reason why he didn't drink is because he grew up around that, and his daddy used to drink and beat the mom up and all this stuff, and that's what convicted him and made him not drink, you know. And some people just are intelligent enough to say, hey, this ain't going to benefit my body. It's not going to, you know, you're going to get dehydrated. You got to rehydrate your body. It's going to impair your judgment, you know. So some people are smart from that. So, but with me, I would work all week long. I wouldn't drink every night, but when the weekend come, I would reward myself and get a drink. At least I call it a reward. But get myself a drink. And then, you know, that whole Monday or Sunday, I'm all dehydrated, trying to get my body back up and get it ready, trying to get it hydrated. You got headaches. You know, you got to look at all this stuff. You got to evaluate all this stuff. You know, when you don't think you can't be intelligent just because you're young. You can look at something and analyze it and make a good decision. So I wanted to make sure I wasn't dependent upon alcohol, so I said, well, let me stop for a year, go a whole year without drinking. And then so I did that year, and then that year, you know, after that year, you know what? You say, well, you know what? I don't even need that. I have such a good time without it. And I tell you now today, I'm not happy to see other people drink, but I am proud of myself that I can go out in a club environment. I can go here and there where I used to couldn't go. Unless I had a drink, I wouldn't go. But now I can go and sit and watch other people. I mean, I'm not bragging, but, you know, they make fools of themselves. And the Bible talks all about don't go be amongst wine bibbers and drunkens and retorters, eaters of meat and flesh. I'm not saying it word for word, but the scripture does address that. Don't hang with them. Be not amongst them. But I go and watch them today, and I see some of them, and, you know, I'm happy that God helped me get the discipline to where I don't have to have that to be around people, and I can still have a good time. You know, a lot of people I went to school with and coworkers, they have the hardest time rationalizing that I don't want to drink. You know, man, you got to get one. Man, come on, man, get one. No, you go ahead. That's for you. If that's what you want to do, that's for you. I'm not saying anything to judge you. It's not for me. You know, and you can do that as a kid with anything, drugs, anything. If you're around some people, you got to be around that group. Say, hey, man, if you choose to do that, you know, that's for you, but it's not for me. I ain't got nothing against you. Don't hold it against me, but I don't want to partake in that. And don't you know they will respect you even more? They will. So,
Brother David, can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am, you most certainly can.
What is your diet like? Can you tell us about your diet?
I was just getting ready to go to the food. Okay. Now, so, yeah. Another thing was, you know, when I got out of the military, I wasn't eating pork. I had stopped by then. That was like in '93, '92, I quit pork. Okay, '94, '95, I quit beef and everything else, and I was just chicken and pretty much shrimp like that. And it came a time with my in-laws, they would cook meals without meat. And I was up in New York one time, and they cooked some tofu, and I was like, it's no meat, I'm not going to eat. I was upstairs, I wouldn't eat. And, you know, because I had never been where there wasn't meat for a meal. So then we was in Orlando one time eating, and they made breakfast with no meat. And I said the same thing, you know what, no meat, I'm not going to eat. And then I had to ask myself, are you addicted to meat? You know, because that's the same thing with alcohol. I like to make sure I'm not addicted or slave to anything. So I said, I'm going to give up meat for a year. And I did meat for a year, and people started saying, oh, you crazy, you strange, you weird. And by them saying that, I kind of liked it. And I said, well, you know what, I'm going to keep doing it. So, I haven't had meat since, 2001? Yeah, about 2001. No, or maybe not that long. Let me see. 2005. So, but yeah, I'm vegan, strictly vegan. I don't eat any animal products at all, and pretty much veggie burgers, vegetables, and you know I do a lot of reading on nutrition, so I make sure I get my proper protein and stuff like that. But I'm on a very strict diet, pretty much vegan and organic. Now it's kind of expensive, and you know there's other things you can do. You don't have to go extreme that way, but you know, you just watch what you put into the body. And I tell you, your body feels a whole lot better. I mean, people ask me every day, people ask me how I'm doing. I normally respond blessed and grateful, but that's because that's true, and I am. But I don't even think I can explain to people how good my body feels and that I feel no pain and so much energy. And it's unbelievable. It's, you know, and I know it's all God, you know, but you see people struggling sometimes, and you know, and I share this information with people. You know, I did a master cleanse. I did 40 days with eating no food, just organic lemon juice, cayenne pepper, maple syrup. That's all you get. I did 40 days for the spiritual significance. I lost 37 pounds, and that's pretty much, you know, starving the flesh. You know, you feed the spirit, but I did it physically and spiritually, both. So yeah, so I'm real big on nutrition. But am I over time, Sister G? Because I'm good. You want me to keep going?
You got about 2 or 3 more minutes.
Okay, did I explain enough?
Yeah, you're going to tell a little bit more about your diet?
Okay, I thought I went in depth on it, you know.
Okay, so what? How do you get your protein?
Okay, from our veggie burgers, I want to say.
Eating veggie burgers, do you eat beans?
Right, we eat lots of beans, red beans, kidney beans, all types of beans. Quinoa is the highest protein vegetable you can get. It's kind of like a rice, like a nutty rice. And I drink oat milk from oat, because there's oat milk, there's coconut milk, there's rice milk. You know, you don't have to have milk from an animal, you know, and I don't bash people who still eat meat. That's fine. You know, you have to grow into it. In fact, my kids still eat meat. But a lot of people get on you about why you don't eat meat. But if you think about it, some of the biggest animals, like elephants, gorillas, and you can name some other big animals, they don't eat meat. And look at them. They still run fast as you can't believe. They big and strong, you know. But, I mean, I'm not trying to push people not to eat meat, but I'm just explaining why I don't, because you always get people, they'll say, you know, what's wrong with you, or what's this and that. But it's all about, I think it's more so discipline. I like discipline. That's my thing. You know, cause what do they say? Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what my grandma used to say all the time, too. But it's been a pleasure talking to your kids and any adults, and, you know, any questions, or if I can share on anything, I'd be glad to in any given day. No. Thank you, Sister G, for that time.
Well, thank you, Brother David. We appreciate you. That was a lot of words of wisdom. We appreciate it. And he talked a lot about, you know, self-control, depending on God to help you overcome the things of this world. You know, we are exposed to so many things, and so many people come even from childhood and say, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? But it takes a person who is, you know, had self-control, discipline, temperance to say no. I remember years ago, one of the president's wives, she just said, say no. And, you know, I remember they was talking about alcohol. I grew up across the street from a moonshine house off of Beaver Street, and I saw people drink every Friday from 4 o'clock to Monday morning. They cut up. Police came. I said, Lord, help me never drink. I tried tasting it, and it smelled like rubbing alcohol. I said, what do people see with this? And then I saw they would be sick, throwing up, headaches. I'm like, well, why would I want to make myself sick? So I thank you for sharing that. And, you know, speaking about the diet, when you look in the book of Daniel, Daniel was a very healthy young man. And it doesn't talk much about anything about his parents that I can remember. But, you know, I really feel that his parents brought him up, and he ate something called pulse, which is like the vegan diet. And he ate beans and rice, no meat, not poultry, not fish, nothing. No meat at all, from what I understand. And he was very healthy. Now, when he went before the king, one of the king's servants, you know, they were going to eat wine. They were trying to get young men who were very, you know, smart and young men who were strong and without, you know, any spots on their face or, you know, whatever. So they chose Daniel and his friends and the other young men. So Daniel went before the king's servant, and he said, listen, let us try our diet for about, I've forgotten how many days right now, but the king's servant agreed. He said, okay. After the number of days, I think it may have been 40 days or whatever, but anyway, after those days, they noticed that Daniel and his friends were stronger, healthier, wiser, smarter. So they changed all the children, all those young men, into eating Daniel's diet. And, you know, it sometimes we all need to, you know, do a cleanse or a fast. You know, Jesus himself fasted and draw close to God and pray, you know, spend time in the most high place, the secret place with God. And it is about discipline. You know, it calls for discipline to give up meat. I was brought up without, you know, I was brought up in a family where we ate every kind of meat you could think of, pork, beef, lamb, every kind of meat, liver, pork chops, pork roast, ham, and everything. But as I grew older, I noticed a lot of people in my family had high blood pressure, diabetes, or whatever. I said, wait a minute now, I don't want that. So I got to change my diet so I can be healthier. So I went to a holistic nutritionist, and she gave me a workup. She checked my fingernails and had little white spots, and she said, wow. She said, you have a vitamin deficiency. Now, you know, you go to the doctor all day and you ask them, well, you know, do I need to take vitamins? Uh-uh. As long as you eat healthy. But who eats healthy? I probably ate healthy somewhat as a child because we had the farmer's market and we ate a lot of shell beans and peas and okra and tomato. All this was fresh out the garden, collard greens and all kinds of good food. And it was, you know, more of organic then. But now, since there's so many things happening in the world has changed, we have to go to the store to buy organic. You know, the soil is not as pure as it was. And, you know, God made everything perfect. He gave us soil with oxygen in it, vitamins in it, minerals in it. Even the water was pure when I was a child. You could go to the water fountain and drink to the sink and drink all the fresh water you drink. You want it. Now, you know, you get it tested, and it's full of impurities and smells of bleach. So, you know, many people nowadays are buying their water. When I first, you know, went organic, people say, oh, there to go the health nut. Then later on, maybe about 20 years later, they saw what I was talking about, and they started to change. But anyway, I thank you, Brother David, for sharing that message. It was awesome. I thank God for you coming on, talking about the health, the diet, and, you know, just encouraging young people. I appreciate it. You know, last week you were talking about, I'm sorry, did you say something, Brother Dave?
Yes, ma'am. I apologize, but I have one scripture I want to share, one of my favorite scriptures.
Okay.
And the reason why this scripture resonates with me is a lot of people that I associate with, they don't understand me, and I try to explain to them that, you know, I feel as though I've been through a whole lot in my life, especially when I was younger. So now I feel like, you know how they say, God said your portions will be doubled, or I just feel as though I'm supposed to keep moving forward no matter what, and I'm supposed to enjoy life. And a lot of times I'm doing multiple things and different things, and people say, well, why are you doing this or why are you doing that? I just feel that's what I'm supposed to do, and I'm supposed to have fun, and I'm supposed to do it. And a lot of times I feel like I'm being led by God. Now, what the scripture I want to share is Proverbs 20, chapter 20, verse 24. That stays in my head whenever I take on a new endeavor. It sticks in my head. And now, this is out of the New King James. That's the Bible my wife got me for my birthday present. I used to read out the other King James, so it's worded a little different, but it's so people can understand. But chapter 20, verse 24, it says, a man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? So you can't really map out your own way. You just got to go and know that God is with you and he put you there. You know? So that's, well, I think people have to grow into that, but that's just where I am right now in life. You know, I'm just going where God leads. Thank you.
Amen. Well, as I said before, thank you so much for sharing your favorite scripture with us. We were talking last week about Christian dating, so we're going to continue in that vein. We were talking about how young people that are Christians should date, or if they should date. You know, Psalms 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Wisdom comes from God. His law is flawless. It will restore our souls. The teachings of the Lord are perfect. God is perfect. When he teaches us, his word is without error, no mistakes. It is true and right. His word renews our soul. The testimony of the Lord is dependable. It will make gullible people wise. The instructions of the Lord are correct. They make the heart rejoice. God is all-powerful, and he is Almighty God, Father and Creator of all of us. When God created man, woman, he put his image within us. Because he is our Creator, we must be obedient to him, follow him. God created man, woman, fathers, mothers, and children. He has commanded us to keep his precepts diligently. Psalms 119:4. Psalms 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." How can a young man keep his life pure? He can't do it by holding on to God's word. Let's look at some scriptures in the Bible. And let's see here. We're going to be reading from the King James Version. It's talking about young men. And it says, "Truth to be kept in mind by young men. The ideal of a clean life." Psalms 119:9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Taking heed thereunto according to the word of the Lord." The certainty of the day of reckoning. Ecclesiastes 11:9. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the day of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." The value of restraint. Lamentations 3:27. Brother David was just talking about discipline. "It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth." The personal power of influence. 1 Timothy 4:12. "Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." That soberness is better than frivolity. "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, to use good judgment." Titus 2:7. "In all things showing thyself pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Moral strength is mightier than physical. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray hair." 1 John 2:13. "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome with the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father," Father God. 1 John 2:14. I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So I thank God for his word. And you know, Psalms 119:9 says, to keep pure before the Lord as young people. You know, it talks about purity. And, you know, we have to, in order to keep pure before the Lord, we got to read his word, study his word daily, be obedient to your parents that God gave you, obey God's word. He has given you so many scriptures for young people to obey. So I'm going to read a few of those scriptures that God has given you to obey. And, you know, God didn't just put us down here and leave us. He gave us the word of God for us to follow, for us to listen, and, you know, to obey it. You know, a lot of times, you know, your teacher tell you, okay, here's a math problem, and here's how you solve it. But if you say, well, I don't have to solve it. All I got to do is just put the answer. You know, you're not going to get the right answer if you haven't tried to solve the problem. So it is with the word of God. You got to obey what God tells you. If he say read and study, he's, you know, doing it for your benefit. So here's some things that God has said for children to do in order for them to be blessed. You know, he gave special promises to children. And with these promises, you know, they have to do their part. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, okay, honor your father and your mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded you, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land of the Lord that thy God hath given thee. All right, Proverbs 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early will find me. Obedient children. Proverbs 8:32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. How are they going to know God's ways? We're going to have to teach them. It says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. So in the way they should go is to train them to God's ways. Isaiah 40:11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Little children, Mark 10:14. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, allow little children to come unto me. Do not stop them. And, you know, the King James Version says, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Children as believers, children of believers. Acts 2:39. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So, you know, God has given many promises to children, the commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So God, you know, warns us even as children, he warns us, and he tells us, you know, how he wants us to live. So we have to do what God tells us to do. And, you know, in Proverbs 31, there's a story about a young man, and many people say it was Solomon's son. And his mother spoke to him, and she taught him some different things. So it starts in Proverbs 31, 1 through 9. And she says, what, my son? What son to whom I gave birth? What son of my prayers? That's a mother praying for a child. Don't give your strength to women or your power to those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or the rulers to crave liquor. Otherwise, they drink and forget what they have decreed and change the standard of justice for all oppressed people. Give liquor to a person who is dying and wine to one who feels resentful. Such a person drinks and forgets his poverty and does not remember his trouble anymore. Speak out for one who cannot speak and for the rights of those who are doomed. Speak out, judge fairly, and defend the rights of oppressed and needy people. Now, this is a mother talking to her son about life, just like Solomon talked to his son about life. And she's telling him in Proverbs 31, 1 through 9, she's saying, okay, now listen, you know, here's the way to live. You know, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you to, you know, to follow God's ways. I've been praying. You know, I gave birth to you. I prayed for you in the womb. I pray for you. I still pray for you every day. She said, now listen, I'm telling you, you know, I want you to go the way of God. Don't give your strength to women or your power to those who ruin kings. She said, it's not for kings, Lemuel. You know, he was a king. And she's telling him, listen, don't go that way. I'm telling you what I know. I'm warning you. Go God's way. Don't go the way of the devil because it's a trap. So mothers, fathers, tell your children what God has said. You know, she was telling him to be pure, to be chaste. And, you know, in Job 31, 1, it says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think or look on a virgin with lust? Be careful what you watch. Avoid X-rated movies, pornography, immoral boys, immoral girls. Watch how they dress. Pants too low, showing their buttocks, showing stomachs, showing, you know, their breasts. You know, some women have their breasts showing, tattoos all over, vulgar language, ugly attitudes. Avoid these people. Make a covenant with your eyes, even a covenant with your ears, that you're not going to hear, you know, certain things. I ride down the street sometime, and I mean, the music is blasting loud, and, you know, they wonder why they can't hear, because the music is busting their eardrums. They're not even aware of it. I taught school for 29 years, and it seemed like the longer I taught, more children had problems hearing loud music. You know, some young parents don't realize that when they're playing all of this music, their baby's ears are going deaf. So we have to be careful. Make a covenant with your eyes. You know, what you're going to see, what you're going to watch. You turn it on. You know, I turn something on the TV and it's showing nudity. I flip it off. I'm like, no. I'm not going to put that in my spirit. That's getting into your spirit. So be careful what you see with your eyes, even what you hear with your ears. What kind of music do you listen to? You know, what are the words? Is there a lot of cussing in it? Profanity? You know, a lot of profanity in it? Well, flip it off. Don't listen to that. That gets in your spirit. You'll start acting certain ways, and you'll say, oh, I wonder why I'm acting like that. Because of what you're listening to, what you're looking at. Proverbs 5, 18 through 21, let your own fountain be blessed and enjoy the girl you married when you were young. Remember, we're talking to young boys today. A loving doe and a graceful deer, always let her breast satisfy you. Always be intoxicated with her love. Why should you, my sons, be intoxicated with an adulterous woman and fondle a loose woman's breast? Each person's ways are clearly seen by the Lord, and he surveys all his actions. Isn't that great? You know, now God watches over us, and he'll warn you, don't do this, don't do that. Here's what you can do. Don't you know we can do a lot of things? We have freedom in Christ, but with that freedom, we have responsibility. So it also talks about impurity. Impurity, Matthew 5:28, I can guarantee you that whosoever looks at a woman and desires her has already committed adultery in his heart. What's adultery? A married person going out on their mate, having sex with another person. Romans 1:24. For this reason, God allowed their lust to control them. As a result, they dishonor their bodies by sexual perversion with each other. What is sexual perversion? Men with men, women with women. That's perversion. That's against God's law. He created Adam and Eve for each other, male and female. Romans 6:19. I'm speaking in a human way because of the weakness of your corrupt nature. Clearly, you once offered all the parts of your bodies as slaves to sexual perversion and disobedience. This led you to live disobedient lives. Now, in the same way, offer all the parts of your body as slaves that you do what God approves of. This leads to live holy lives. Ephesians 4:19. Since they no longer have any sense of shame, they have become promiscuous. They practice every kind of sexual perversion with a constant desire for more. But this is not what you learned from Christ's teachings. You have certainly heard his message and have been taught his ways. The truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. I'm going to say it again. The truth is in Jesus. You were taught to change the way you were living. The person you used to be will rein you through desire. The person you used to be will ruin you through desires that deceive you. You were taught to have a new attitude. You were taught to become a new person, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So, young people, guard your hearts. Do not be deceived. Follow God and do the right thing. Stay pure. God will help you through his Holy Spirit, who will guide and keep you. So go on dates and have clean, pure fun. Group date to avoid problems. Go to clean parties, you know, where there's no drugs, alcohol, sexual activities, occult activities. You know, go to clean, healthy, fun activities. You do not want to start a family before you are ready. You know, do not get into sex before you marry. That leads to your youth being taken away from you. That leads to the death of your youth when you get into sexual sins and activities. That takes your youth away from you, cause you to die spiritually. You do not want to start a family before you're ready. With sex comes babies. Allow the Holy Spirit to guard and guide you. Stay away from addictions, drugs, alcohol, mind-altering substances, things that destroy your brain cells and cause mental, physical, and emotional problems. Life, pure, holy, lives. Pure, holy, righteous lives. If you are not saved as God, ask God to save you. Invite him into your heart. So if you are not saved today, I would say to you, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Believing that Christ died for you and arose again and will save completely all who come to God through him, you can receive him as your personal Savior if you confess him as Lord and Master. So God is in the saving business. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants everyone. What are we lost? You know, when you're born into sin. So at some point in your life, hopefully while you're children, You need to say, Lord, you know, I've sinned, and I want to be saved from my sins. So God will save you. Many children have been saved. I have friends who have been saved at 3 years old, some, you know, 8 years old. People used to tell their children, now when you get to 12, it's time for you to be saved. But children can be saved at young ages. You know, I've heard people say, I wish I had let them get saved when they wanted to be. You know, then after a while, the heart of the children get hard. And you wonder why. Because it was open at one time, and you stop them thinking they don't know what they're doing. Well, none of us really knew what we were doing when we were saved. It's a gradual process. You know, first you say, Lord, I want to be saved. You confess Jesus as Lord. And then, you know, as you read the Word of God, you discover, oh, my God, I didn't know that. And then you think, well, maybe I'm not saved, but you're saved. It's just a process that you're going through. God is cleansing you and showing you more of his ways, his word. And so, you know, we just say, Lord, you know, I repent. I need to know more of your ways. I didn't know I was doing the wrong thing, but I'm now ready to do the right thing. So help me. And don't you know God will help you? So today I thank each of you for coming on. Is there anyone who needs prayer? I will pray for you today. Press 1 if you need prayer. All right, well, so far no one pressed 1. Well, I'm going to read a prayer from Apostle Kimberly Daniels' book called Prayer for Divine Health. You know, Brother David talked about the diet, the vegan diet, the organic diet, and I talked about, you know, Daniel and how he was very healthy and the young men with him. You know, God wants us to be healthy. Hold on, someone is pressing 1 here. Hold on, Brother David. So God wants us to be healthy. He doesn't want us to be sick in our bodies, sick in our minds, sick in our souls, our spirits. He wants us to be healthy. So, you know, we got to learn to be disciplined. You know, a lot of times, you know, I may want to eat a whole pie, but sometimes I refuse to eat any piece of it at all. Sometimes even sugar, you can be addicted to sugar. You can be addicted to food. But, you know, we got to be, say, no, I appreciate it, but, you know, I don't care for any. Or, you know, don't stop by the store and pick up a whole box of honey buns if you know you shouldn't even eat one. Or whatever you are, you know, overindulging in, you want to have self-discipline. And I've noticed, you know, many people, oh, but I like it. Just because you like something doesn't mean it's good for you. So, all right, Brother David, you're requesting prayer. You want to say something?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I just wanted to get prayers in to make sure I have strength, which I don't know. I have a lot of confidence, but I just, God has dropped a good task upon me, which I asked for, but of course, you know, when you ask God for something, you ask him for something small over here. Drop something big in your lap, and it gets to the time point where you want to be like, Lord, Lord, this is too much. But, you know, he will never give us more than we can bear. So I just want to thank God for what opportunity he put before me, and I feel as though I have confidence, and I just want to make sure I stay strong and learn everything he wants me to learn throughout the course of this task. And I also ask that while I'm discussing God with people, I don't want to use people as an example and slander them or talk bad about them. You know, just help me to be able to illustrate God's love without having to make somebody an example. You know, I don't know if you understand what I mean by that. But
yeah, to share God's love without making them wrong.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Without, I understand.
You know, without pointing the faults of the individual, saying, you know, this individual did this and did this when he should have did this, and, you know.
Right. You know, that's like in the Bible it says, you know, don't point the finger at somebody when we got a telephone pole in our eye and they got a toothpick. You know.
Right.
So we have to be careful. Right. I know what you're saying. I understand it.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else need prayer? Anything else, Brother Dave?
No, ma'am, I just pray that I want to thank God for all the spiritual people that he put me in contact with, and I just continually ask for good health for them and good spirit for them, and I just appreciate the time that God's let me have with all of you spiritual people and how I'm growing spiritually, and I'm just thankful.
Amen, amen. Well, Father, we approach your throne as humbly as we know how. And, Father, I don't know how to pray as I should, so I consult you, the great and mighty I am, to lead us in prayer. And, Father, you know your son, David Emmanuel. You even know how many hairs he has upon his head. You placed him carefully in his mother's womb. You chose the parents that he would have in this life. You brought him a particular way. And so, Father, I just thank you for strength for him. You are a strong tower. You are a holy God and a righteous God, and we just thank you that you are a strong God and you strengthen your people. So strengthen your son, David Emmanuel, O God. I thank you that you are his Lord, you are his shepherd, and he shall not want. And, Father, he is in need of strength. So I thank you that his cup runs over with mercy and strength. In Jesus' name, and grace and peace of mind, O God, knowing that you are the God who is strong. You are the almighty God. You are the most powerful God. In the name of Jesus, made it biblical. And, Father, as he share your word with other people, O God, I thank you that he will not look at them, but he will remember where he came from. He will remember that he was not always saved. And he will have compassion on them as he share the love that you have put on the inside of him with other people. And, Father, I thank you that he will shake the dust off his feet for those who reject you through him. He will not throw his pearls before swine. If they do not want the word, he will move on to those who are hungry for the word. Because so many people are hungry to know you and your love. So, Father, I thank you that as he stay open to you, O God, you will lead him and guide him in your holy path. You will lead him to share with people who are hungry and thirsting after you. And, Father, I just thank you for his request, that he is requesting that people have excellent health and strength. And so, Father, in order to do that, they need discipline. So, Father, we thank you for discipline for your people, O God, that they would not eat foods that are harmful to their bodies or drink things that are harmful to their bodies, but they would drink and eat things that are healthy, nutritional, that they would have lay aside desires that are not healthy for their bodies. That people will learn to eat healthy, think healthy, eat healthy, and live healthy. And so, Father, as we honor you today, we just thank you that you are great and greatly to be praised. And, Father, I just thank you for divine health for your people. Father, I thank you that on Calvary, Jesus took all of our sicknesses on him and our diseases. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing your son to take our place when he died for our sins. We praise you for sending your son Jesus. Jesus paid the price for our soul, and we commit to walk in the revelation of what he did so that we will experience divine health in Jesus' name. And, Father, we negate the ability of the enemy to send negativity to our mind about our health. As we think, we are. We decree that we are healed, we are whole, and we are walking in supernatural divine health in the name of Jesus. We will walk in divine health all the days of our lives. No weapon of infirmity and sickness will prosper against us, and any attacks on our health will be minor and temporary. Father, help us to understand the importance of exercising regularly in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of laziness and procrastination that keep us from exercising regularly. Obesity is broken off our bloodline, and excessive weight gain is not an option. We speak the life of God to our spirit, soul, and body. We commit to walk in the revelation of the fact that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We will not put anything in it, on it, or around it that will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Dear Lord, we help us to understand that more than 50% of our body is water, and we must drink at least 6 to 8 glasses of water daily in order to keep it functioning properly. In Jesus' name, we bind the spirit of dehydration in the name of Jesus. Anything that will keep us from drinking water is far from us. We refuse to give the enemy any right to try to afflict our bodies. In Jesus' name, we declare and will confess positively the things that the word says about our body. We are healed by Jesus' stripes. We decree and declare that our diet will be an instrument to maintain good health that God has promised to us. We surrender our health completely to the Holy Spirit. Father, deliver us from bad habits that will compromise our health. Reveal to us those things about dieting, vitamins, and exercise that will help us stay healthy in Jesus' name. We renounce negative eating habits that will hinder our good health, bad habits that will cause high blood pressure, strokes, heart attacks, cancer, and other spirits of early death cannot flow into our lives. We take authority over every spirit of mental infirmity, spirits of depression, schizophrenia, delusions, and immature personality in the name of Jesus. We are healthy from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We will live a full life according to the word of the Lord. We bind spirits that will cause internal organ destruction, attack internal body organs such as the heart, liver, and kidneys, and decrease or destroy our normal organ function in the name of Jesus. We bind and destroy every disease, state, place in our past ancestry and genetically transferred to us from the womb. We declare and decree that the great physician will have the final say in the state of our health, and we believe only his report. We confess that we are redeemed from the curse of the law, which included sickness and disease, and we confess that we live under the new covenant, which promises prosperity and good health in the name of Jesus. We cancel the effects of the spirit of destructive diseases, which include diseases such as rheumatoid, arthritis, lupus, and AIDS. We bind every destructive spirit that will cause malfunctioning of our digestive system, genital, urinary tract, such as prostate, uterus, ovaries, and bladder, or colon, in Jesus' name. Father, you promise that the sign of our salvation is laying our hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Enhance our ability to pray for everyone we encounter who needs healing in the name of Jesus. We are contagiously healthy. We confess that we have your favor in the area of health and happiness in Jesus' name. We live beyond 70. We will live beyond 70 in the name of Jesus. We renounce the spirit of fear that causes worry, stress, and anxiety. It is a contributing factor in the chronic diseases and have no place in our lives. We renounce Nehushtan, the snake on the pole erected from the time of Moses to Hezekiah. Today we tear down the high places that put the medical symbol and industry before God. We renounce the spirit of pharmakia, medication by magic. Lord, deliver us from the addictions of medicines, doctors, and hospitals. Teach us to believe you for our healing, Lord. Lord, we believe that you created medicines and you bless the hands of doctors and you are the healer. and the deliverer and the keeper of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I thank God for each of you. It is closing time on Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. There will be no Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies next Thursday. That's the fifth Thursday, so we're off. But Bible Storyland will take place this Saturday, so join us at the same number, 1-619-789-4313. September the 6th, Boys to Men will return. So I thank God for each of you. I love you. Have a God-filled evening, a God-filled week, a God-filled month, and a God-filled year. And spread the love of Jesus. Don't forget, read the Word, study the Word, and obey the Word. I love you, and I'll talk to you all soon. God bless you.